Hey guys, Jacob here, and welcome to the new episode of Automated Seller Podcast. We have a new special guest, Max Burke, a co-founder of Moin Marketing GmbH. Hi Max, how are you?
Hi Jacob, thank you, I'm good, and thanks for having me.
Sure. I'm happy to have you here finally. I know we've met some time ago and we tried to record this podcast, but again, on a daily basis, especially when you run the agency, there's so much things going on that it's hard to find the time even for like a simple recording, even though it's not much that it takes time, but like it just takes this willpower to do so. So I'm actually really glad that we can finally do it.
Me too, finally.
Sure. So Max, let's start with the introduction. Could you actually introduce yourself to the audience, give us a little bit of the backstory, and how did you pretty much start and get to know about the Amazon?
Yeah, sure. And first of all, maybe to the audience, sorry for the horrible German accent that I probably have, but I hope it's still fine. Yeah, so who am I? Like you said, Max, co-founder of Moin Marketing. Like, we're an agency 100% focused on Amazon ads. And yeah, how did I get to Amazon? That's many, many years back now. While I was studying actually in Cologne, I stumbled upon Amazon FBA. So kind of a classic way for many people.
Yes.
And I started selling products on Amazon, like imported products from China and so on, like so many did.
Yeah. And, what year was that? Sorry.
It was, oh man, time flies. Probably 2016, 15.
That was a good year to be on the Amazon.
True. Did you sell on Amazon as well?
I haven't, no. No,
haven't.
I've been
okay.
Selling, like Amazon was not even there in Poland those years,
oh,
right?
Right?
Like Amazon got to Poland, I think, it's actually still like not really, it's there officially and so on, but like people are not really buying on Amazon because of Allegro. But I think they started expanding to Poland like around 3 years ago or something like this, right? So I was never a seller on Amazon. I've been selling a little bit on actually Allegro here, but not on like a big scale. So
okay, yeah, cool. Yeah, we get more and more projects in actually for Amazon Poland, so I
oh,
think
nice.
it's growing step by step. Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, Poland is a great market overall. Also because there's so much of the brands, like manufacturers, especially furnitures. I mean, Polish furnitures
True.
Are really good, right? So I know that a lot of brands also from Poland are right now considering to sell on Amazon, because I also know a lot of agency owners here in Poland that are helping get those brands on actually Amazon Germany and other Amazon marketplaces. So yeah.
Yeah, there are many, many, many manufacturers in Poland, right? Especially when it comes to the kind of wood products. I think that's a big industry
exactly.
in Poland.
Exactly, and logistics centers.
Yeah.
Like Poland is like really a heart of logistics in Europe, so.
True, makes sense. Yeah, but where was I? Like, sold on Amazon. Many, many pet products, actually, like so many others as well. And then, I mean, back then, you probably know it best, the demand in the Amazon space was crazy for all kinds of services. And that's when I started, you know, doing or focusing on Amazon ads and doing it for bigger brands, like, international brands as a freelancer. And through that, like 4 years ago, we founded the agency, me and my buddy Ken.
Awesome. I think it's quite a similar story that we have to our software agency, because again, also initially as a developer, I just landed some side projects, started working as a freelancer, and then at some point I realized, okay, this is no longer like a one-man job. Like I need to somehow scale, get the team and get on a bigger project. So it's like typical, I think, life cycle of the agency. So
true, yeah.
But that's awesome. So you started the agency, but you said that first you got to work first as a freelancer. I'm really curious, how did you land those first brands? Like, and so you helped them.
Oh yeah, man, back then it was so easy to land a client because
Okay.
everybody was looking for Amazon services. And yeah, this whole Amazon FBA thing came up, and all the bigger brands also noticed like, hey, I can actually list my product on Amazon, but then I have to do more. Like, I have to do SEO, I have to do PPC and all that kind of stuff. So I think people found me basically,
Okay.
and I didn't even look for it. So I think
You didn't do like any, I don't know, marketing or SEO. You put your services on like some Facebook group or something, or how?
exactly. There were these, little Facebook groups here and
Okay.
there, and people were asking, and yeah, and I think I had in my LinkedIn profile something with Amazon ads, and then people just texted me. It
Okay.
was wild.
That's awesome. But how do you actually know your co-founder? Did you meet him before, or actually you were searching for someone to start the agency? How did it look?
Oh yeah, my co-founder and I, we go way back. We actually played football together, or
Okay.
for the, maybe you have American audience, soccer. Kind of yeah, grew up together in the same part of the town, Hamburg, and were friends. And he also did Amazon ad stuff, so it was kind of a logical step for us to do it together.
That's awesome. So yes, it's been some time right now. Tell us, what is it actually that more marketing today, and how can you compare it when you were starting, like when it comes to like team services, maybe office, and overall like clients?
Oh yeah. Okay, that's a big question. Yeah. So we started out as a like two-person team, right? So did everything ourselves. Tough times. I think every founder knows this. You probably know this as well. And then, within 4 years, we now grew to a team of 25 people, which to some may sound like a lot. To some, it's still a super small company. I always have the feeling we're super small. So it's always it depends on the point of view, right? But yeah, many things changed along the way. Now I'm basically not doing any ads myself anymore. We have a great team that do all this. We have actually a tech team now that do all the tech side. Which is your field of expertise, of course. But yeah, basically, along those 4 years, we professionalized a hell lot and still have a long way to go, but I think we're on a good way. Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I can definitely tell that you are also, especially just checking your content on LinkedIn. What differentiates you from other advertisement agencies, that you always check the news from the Amazon advertisement, right? Like I mean, even in New York on the conference on the Unbox, right? Like you had those T-shirts, ask me anything about AMC, right? And AMC was really like a big thing,
True.
so I can only say that this is like really great, and I think it definitely plays some role for you to get the leads, right?
Yeah, I mean the whole content part, like this podcast, right, is huge, I think. And sorry to everybody who I annoy with my daily LinkedIn posts, but I hope it helps somebody out there. And yeah, I think in terms, and then we come back maybe to how to get clients. I think content, if it works, it just scales perfectly, right? So Google Ads or anything else is super expensive by now.
Oh yeah.
And so that's why we try to do content, and we're still at the beginning. But so far we're kind of happy, but it's also a lot of work.
It
How
is a lot of
do you
work.
feel about it?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say, right? Like overall, as a client acquisition, one of the client acquisition strategies, like content marketing, I think that I've met a lot of founders that said that, why am I doing it? Why am I providing value for free? Like I should only run ads, just get clients through targeted ads, and that's it. But I don't know. I mean, first of all, I've tried some ads back in the days for actually one online course that I was actually building with a company, but that's like completely different past, I would say. And they were working, right? Like we could directly say, okay, yes, we knew how much we have to spend to acquire. But like for service company, I don't know. I only heard people are spending so much money. It's so hard to convert on ads. And on the other hand, when you are providing a lot of value, and this strategy is only approved because I do a lot of interviews recently with our clients, and I ask them like three questions. And one of the questions, like, why did you actually start working with us? What made our agency stand out from all of the other agencies? Like there's so much competition right now when it comes to like software companies, right? Like you can go on Upwork, even find freelancers. You can just type like software agency, software company, there are like hundreds of like thousands of them. And then they actually said that yes, that I've provided value on the YouTube video, and they just realized that if I can do it and I can talk about it, then we are probably experts in that. And they were actually they wanted to try work with us, right? So it really works. But if I just check on my YouTube, for example, like I think I have around 300 videos, and out of those 300 videos, just 10, they are doing much better than 290, right? So when it comes to like time investment, yes, definitely. It's not always that all of the effort that you put, you get back, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But you're doing it for a while now, and I think it really pays off in the long run, because I mean people start seeing you over months or years even, right? And they start trusting you, and then I think that really helps in terms of client acquisition. Yeah.
And for building the brand for that
Exactly.
stands for years, I think that this is crucial. So the companies, our clients, they know that we are not just like here for today, for tomorrow, but we will be there. They will stick to us. And it's similar, like the conversation we just had before the podcast about like going to conferences, having the booths. They are not always like you won't get the ROI directly from the conference probably, but if the people see you, the other actually companies, they see you, they kind of have you in mind later on for the work, right? So there's so much different things that you have to play long term in order to build like a successful service company, but not only a service company, like product company as well, and build this brand.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, for us also, like, we tried it for I think 3 years already to get this content thing going. And then you're like, 1 week, okay, come on, let's do it. We do it daily now. And then you get sick, or you know, it's stressful in the company, and then you stop it again and
Oh
so on.
yeah.
So I have huge respect for you that you do it that consistently, because it's super hard, man.
Oh yeah, it was never it wasn't always like this. Right now actually also my team is pushing me. They said, "Okay, you should just do this," because I don't come from any like marketing background. I was a coder myself, and I've been just building code, right? And developers, they are worse kind of marketers by design, by default, right? By nature. But I don't know, like I just started doing it. It clicked. And yeah, there are those days that I just know that I won't be able to focus on like very valuable piece of content, like because for some content that it really brings value, you really need to spend a lot of time, even for like research purposes, then on the execution, on like post editing. But yeah, I think that the most important is just to be consistent. So for example, for those podcast episodes, this is like one of the things that I have my framework, I can operate in it, and I can actually produce a lot, and then plan ahead. Like I remember last year I had like 2 weeks marathon that I've been recording two or three podcast episodes every day,
Oh,
and then
wow.
I just planned it for next 3 months, and I haven't been recording for 3 months. So there are
Wow.
definitely different strategies that can help. So that's for sure. But actually speaking on overall like client acquisitions, because what you said also is that initially you didn't have to kind of do almost anything. You were just kind of, yeah, okay, you posted on a group that you do Amazon, and people were really going and asking you to help. But definitely this industry changed. Could you actually tell, like, especially that you were so early there, how saturated is this Amazon agency space at the moment compared to what it was actually those years back?
Yeah, sure. I think it Totally changed. I mean, like 4 years ago when we started the agency, it was still, I think, how do you call it, blue ocean, right? When it's like
Yes,
still
blue
an
ocean
open,
and red
exactly,
ocean. Yeah.
like still an open market, and it was relatively easy. But now there are so many agencies because, let's be honest, the barrier of entry to, start an agency is super low. Like you, everybody can do it. You just need a
But then
website.
there's so much of the shitty agencies at the same time, right? That
That's
they have no
the
idea
problem.
about AMC and then other new features.
That's the problem. Exactly. So, I mean, there are many, many, many agencies now, many like 2 to 5 people, in that kind of space. And some of them for sure are good, some less good. But I mean, that's always the case. But it definitely changed, and it's getting harder and harder to get good clients. And also to, it's always a challenge to show the client, hey, we actually deliver this quality work, because there's so much noise out there. And I mean, the client doesn't know much about Amazon ads oftentimes, right? That's why they look for a service like ours. So it's always a challenge to actually show this, hey, we're trying to be the good guys, and we are the good guys.
Totally. And I also what I really like is I remember we had this also conversation about one of our common client actually to help him that I asked you if you are only doing like focusing on advertisement, right? And you said that you also work with partners who also can deliver 100% like full value in other cases. So it's not like 360 agency, but you have proper partners to do a certain kind of things, and we work actually the same way, right? We are very open also about it when we speak, because then we can actually deliver like really all of the end-to-end projects to our clients. And I really don't like all of those lies among the industries that there's a company that can do literally everything for you, because if there's such a company, usually those services are not the best quality.
Yeah, I mean, when you want to eat a perfect pizza, you go to the perfect Italian restaurant, right? And that restaurant probably doesn't offer, I don't know, kebab or anything else.
Oh
And I
yeah.
think it's the same with agencies. And it, I mean, also when we look at our Amazon space, the Amazon agency space, there are full service agencies, right, that do everything. And even within that Amazon agency space, we are the hyper specialized ones. We say we only do ads, like we don't do SEO, brand stores, listings, whatever. We have partners for that, because each individual category in that space gets so deep, because Amazon launches feature after feature after feature, and it's tough to keep up even in one space. So yeah. It's tough, and we're trying our best to be, the good guys in that one particular niche.
Yes, that's great. But overall, right now, have you also thought about perhaps expanding and helping with other marketplaces? If Amazon Marketplace at some point would go like too saturated, like that would be too hard. For example, I know that Kaufland launched the marketplace, right? And it's actually German one. I don't know if you've considered or you're doing it, or maybe some other marketplaces, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, it's always in the back of our head, right? I mean, we're very dependent on Amazon. But we see still such good growth rates that we don't do it yet. But whenever, we see, okay, growth slows down, we might consider those options. And I mean, the principles often are the same, right? Just
Exactly,
the details
exactly.
change. So I think we could move quickly
Because
and adapt.
I would assume that if you help some of your clients, they would actually consider even to expand to other marketplaces, and that would be like the perfect start to help, right? Not just directly say, okay, yes, we are also doing Kaufland, but rather be more selective and help the ones that you already work with. I think that would be actually good strategy. And what I see is like I have a lot of also agency founders, but from states. And right now, like Walmart is actually also getting bigger and bigger. Like some of the podcast guests, they said that yes, Walmart right now, for example, is like what Amazon was in 2017 or 18, and that's why it's so hot right now, and people are actually fighting to get their name also out there for Walmart. But obviously, we don't have it in Europe. I think there's no Walmart at all in Europe, right? It's only
I don't think so. Yeah.
U.S. Right? So for Europe, I think that it's definitely worth it to check on those like more niche marketplaces, like not that popular names. I mean, Kaufland is a super popular shop, but no one really knew that they launched the marketplace. I remember, I think last year I've been to e-commerce expo Berlin, this conference. It's actually been recently also in Berlin, but I haven't been there. And then I approached Kaufland, and they just said yes, that we launched the marketplace, and we are also expanding to Slovakia, I think Poland, and some other countries. So especially here in Europe, it's definitely worth to monitor those moves.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. That's a smart move. I mean, always checking, you know, the landscape and the market. But what I noticed, though, and I don't know if you had the same experience, but when we speak to those, you know, marketplaces, let's say Otto, Kaufland, Bol.com in Netherlands, and so on. And it seems that the rate of innovation and the speed of innovation at those companies is much slower than with Amazon. Like Amazon is really pushing things forward, and there you wait ages until a new feature comes out.
Yes, that I can only agree. And actually here I'm speaking also from the technological side, that even to build things on top of those marketplaces, it's actually so hard. Even for actually initially Amazon, it was quite hard to get to like the old APIs. They actually improve it a lot now. That's why there's so many of new tools like being created every day, because they just put the barrier so low to entry, which actually is good for innovation, right? But like on the other side, you have those other marketplaces. And actually right now we are thinking, for example, to start doing what we do for like businesses around Amazon, but also to other marketplaces. We never really wanted to just rely on one marketplace. That's why, for example, we've created this name like Marketplace Software Agency, Amazon Software Agency. We of course have clients that we help with other marketplaces, but for example, to build like content around new marketplaces, like I just targeted Walmart recently, and I said, okay, I will create a bunch of content and try a Walmart API. But it's just impossible to get. Like, you actually need to get access to it. You need to know people. And of course, if I'm not the seller, they will never give me the API keys. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I won't be able to even create content around that. So we also kind of stopped. I don't know about other marketplaces, like, for example, Kaufland. I haven't checked, but I assume that they would also have some kind of limited options for the API, right?
Yeah, probably. I don't know for Kaufland, but yeah, I can understand the frustration on your side there.
So yeah, again, we'll see. We'll definitely want to go beyond, but as you also said, for us, like seems for you as well, right? The growth is there, so there's no really point to have like distractions, because that's also sometimes the thing that sometimes things are getting so complicated, so hard, that you just want something new.
Exactly,
and you are looking
yeah.
for those shiny objects, so we had those.
It's like they always say, right? It's you have to start saying no to all these things, and that's tougher than most people imagine, I think. Yeah.
That's for sure. So let me ask you like this question. I mean, already we started having this conversation, right? That you rely heavily on actually having like being in a very expertise in one place, which is the advertisement. You do content marketing, but maybe you actually want to say something as well when it comes to this question, like how do you stand out from other agencies?
We talked about the hyper specialized part, and I think the next big thing is the in-house tech part. I think most agencies out there, they probably have a tool partner. There are many ad tools out there, right? And we started out that way as well, and that's fine. But when you have kind of a tool partner for bidding and all that kind of stuff, you kind of rely on the certain philosophy of that tool provider, and we never liked that because when you want to do real good Amazon ads, you have to like get into individual strategies and so on, and then it's quite important that you can actually deliver your custom solutions, and there you need custom software, custom reporting, and so on. And yeah, that's I think one of the big factors for us where we differentiate from other agencies. And of course that has to grow over time, right? We didn't start out that way. And yeah, it's always great. I can just recommend to any agency out there, get your tech in order. It's not getting less tech, right? It's only getting more and more. So having good partners on that side, if it's you guys or someone else, is really important.
That's awesome, and actually, this is something that I also talk to convince some agencies to start building the tech. Because first of all, I mean, if you have your own tech, I mean, as you mentioned, you are just by design different from others. You can do things completely different. You don't rely on a software, and this software doesn't tell you the way you should do things. And now, of course, everyone is saying about, yes, there's AI, AI, AI. I mean. I don't want to even start on those things. Like, one thing is like, no, you just can't rely on one AI that will do all of the work for you. That's just not the case. We are not there yet. Maybe we'll be there, but then we'll have other problems. So
True.
that's one thing. But like, even the other thing, which I think it's overall great, is if you're running your Amazon agency. I heard about some exits actually in the space that there've been some agencies that have been acquired, but they were acquired as a agency, like as a service provider company. But if you start building your own tech, you are actually building like a company assets, and you are becoming the technological company, right? So your value over time is also like much higher, much higher. You don't rely on anyone. Like if some service providers from and there were cases like this. If they change the pricing, that will increase your cost like X3, then you may no longer be profitable and the fail your whole company. So those are one of the cases, right? So actually, as building the tech, of course, it is expensive, it is pricey, but for the long-term thinking and long-term strategy, I think it just really like you have the return on that.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And I mean, yeah, let's maybe put the, in our case, bidding software aside. Let's just look at reporting, right? I mean, brands are now getting more and more sophisticated. They want to have their individual solutions. They want to have their data seen in the way that is useful to them. So just on that side, it's important to be able to play around with certain data types and show the data in a way that is useful to the client. And when you have those tools, it's just, this template, you get this and nothing else. So I think, yeah, that is at some point certainly a disadvantage.
Oh yeah, totally. And actually, speaking of the day-to-day work and software, I mean, you said that you're right now building your own tech, but I would love to also hear maybe what else you are using, because definitely you're also using some third-party tools to run the agency to automate a lot of your workloads. So I'm really curious, what's your like stack day-to-day?
Yeah, or a tech stack. I mean, I think it's not too fancy on our side, to be honest, and we can probably optimize a hell lot. But we heavily use Asana as a project management tool. We love Loom,
Oh
recording
yeah,
Loom videos.
we also do that.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm the Loom guy, so I
it's.
even once recorded a Loom to my girlfriend, so
Okay, whoa, that's next level. No, but Loom is great. We use Slack, of course, like everybody else. We use Microsoft Teams. I think, I mean, Excel still. Yeah, but that's kind of our
And for the
basic thing.
actual Amazon, like, do you use any PPC tools, or do you just stop doing all of that, or?
Yeah, in terms of ad management, we use our own software for reporting. I mean, There are like Power BI, right? Tableau. We use Looker Studio. We like that one. And then I can, in terms of keyword research and so on, I can highly recommend Embolize. It's a tool out of Germany. Really good data. So we use that. And for the US marketplace, I mean, Helium 10, right, is also a good option.
That's actually that's really good. I would say like the tech stack or how should I say, just software providers in general. And I assume that it's pretty costly actually for all of those tool like on monthly basis, right? So I think that's also one of the things to keep in mind when while running your agency that this can get really expensive to use a lot of different tools.
100%. I mean, sometimes when we check, our monthly expenses, we think like, do we really need that other, Asana seat? Because we're already paying quite a lot.
Yes, we as well are spending so much actually, and recently we did a big migration to ClickUp. So we were very heavy like users of Notion, and at some point we realized, okay, once we get like more corporates also work and that more team members needs to work on the tasks, because we on a Notion we had like so much custom things that we even like coded our own custom things that once Notion were building some updates, actually ours were crashing because they were not expected people to build such a things, right? But yeah, we recently moved to ClickUp, and I can de definitely recommend because like I've actually used ClickUp first time like 4 years ago, and it was just like Trello, like literally just Trello board, nothing else. And then I kind of said, okay, like I don't want to use it. And now 4 years from up like here. It's completely different, and it's actually working like Notion, but it doesn't give you that much of the customization, which I really like. It has some built-in tools like you can record like a Loom videos inside. Like I still use Loom, but like the board team here is actually like I'm the only like Loom heavy user. They all actually migrated to ClickUp now, so they want to cancel the subscription. And then like
Last man
Miro,
standing.
me. Yeah, and then for example, Miro board. Like, I'm a huge fan of Miro board for brainstorming, and then they actually started working on their internal Miro board. So once you have like a company, like a project wiki, you can also have like a board, which it's not there. Like, I think it actually sucks. Like, I'm not using it yet, but I just know that if they keep building and working on it, they will get there, right? So yeah, like having your tools, I think it is crucial. Like I know actually a lot of sellers that they are just using, for example, Excel sheets, like spreadsheets, and those are sellers that actually we have a lot of requests to build some custom integrations just on a Google Sheets, so it actually automatically gets the data from SP API on advertisement API, but those are just literally a Google Sheets. They don't want to use any tool at all, so
Oh man, okay, yeah, for sellers, maybe just to throw that in, I mean, seller board, I don't know if you know seller
I
board.
know,
I mean, just a basic tool I think that every seller should have, and on top of that, of course, you can build custom stuff, but just to, know what the actual profit is of Amazon.
Oh yeah.
But going back to your suggestion, Miro, by the way, is, yeah, that's awesome. I forgot about that. That's really
Oh
good.
yeah. And also like for team collaboration that you can all kind of start working on the same board, this just it's a game changer, especially for the workshops. I think that's what works the best. But actually I have a question to you here about like overall like those tools. I mean there's so many of them, and like some of them they got like huge fundings, like 100 million plus fundings and so on. Like this is ridiculous. I'm always thinking like, I mean Amazon has all of the data. They can do literally what they want, and they are actually putting some of the crazy features to Advertisement Console or like Seller Central. Like, what's your opinion about it? I mean, if they wanted, they could literally replace all of those tools with like one feature. Aren't you scared, like being in an industry for so long?
Am I scared? Not really. And I think it comes down to incentives. So Amazon always has the incentive to let, if we, stick to the ad side, to increase ad spend, right? And increase ad exposure. And a seller or a vendor or brand on Amazon always has the incentive to basically get the most out of their advertising, so in terms of revenue. And I think those incentives do matter in the long run. And I think if as an agency or a service provider, whatever, you have a speed of innovation that is high, you can in the long run also stay ahead of the curve. And I think because of that different incentive, yeah, we'll be fine, I think.
No, but this one that Amazon wants you to spend money on ads, that's true. Basically, this is main business model, right? So
Right.
like that's why all of the marketplaces exist and like overall like search engines, I would say, because marketplace in the end is a search engine, right? It's like
Exactly.
same like Google, like they want you to spend money on ads. And I think I recently had this conversation about like AI searches that Amazon actually released this new AI search. I forgot the name of it. It is some like funny name. And then like people were actually scared that it will completely change the advertisement game, right? Because now the AI will be able to suggest you things. But then on the other hand, I mean, again, yes, we always need to keep in mind that people are literally bidding on keywords to be in there, right? So Amazon is definitely planning something, doing something, but I wouldn't be also that much scared of that because they would literally just kill their own business if they
Exactly.
release too powerful like AI search.
And I mean, there are still Google agencies, right? And Google has been around forever. I think in the Amazon space, it's all still quite young. I mean, you also notice it on the tech side, right? There's Amazon Marketing Cloud coming, different APIs coming in. I think there's still a lot of fun in the future there.
That's good to hear that we can still keep running the businesses and not be scared of the AI, because recently here like I just had so many conversations with friends. Like recently I had actually a good friend of mine. He was he's the creative like he's like a designer, but for those like creative things like science fiction thingies and so on, right? And he's been doing it for last 8 years, and like really he has a talent for that. He can draw crazy things. But I've just told him, right? I had the conversation because he started the agency recently. Aren't you scared of the AI and what it can do? And he said that totally, that actually you can do so much with it right now. And he, for example, said that in our case right now, for all of the creatives and main things to deliver things, like we will be using AI, but in the end the people will hire me to really give the whole direction overall on how to use it and how where to put things created by the AI. So for more like the project management. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. Like here even in like programming, there is so much of AI and low code and no code tools, but like still on the other hand, there's so much need for custom coding. So
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I will say this. I mean, we cannot be naive, right? I mean, we always have to stay on top of our game and checking all the AI news, because who knows, ChatGPT 5 will run the world in some months. Who knows? But as I have the feeling, as long as you stay on top of each trend and keep informing yourself, you won't be surprised by any big changes, I think.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Always try to use new things and don't be scared of
Yeah,
them. So,
exactly.
yes, and Max, I would love to also ask you actually right now the question for the some case study. Like you've been working with so many brands at this point, so many clients, and I would love to hear the craziest ROI or the case study that you've managed to achieve.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I think One of the craziest stories for sure is the one of loop earplugs. Have you heard of loop earplugs? Not sure.
I've heard about many earplugs. I don't know if this particular one, because they kind of like started being popular out of nowhere.
Exactly.
So
Yeah. So
I
that's.
was even promoting one brand on
Oh.
Instagram as an influencer like 4 or 5 years ago, but I can't remember the
Instagram influencer. Okay, so that's another
Oh
podcast
yeah.
episode right there. No, but this is like it was a small startup like 5 years ago out of Belgium, Antwerp. Two guys, Dimitri and Martin, who co-founded the company, and they had the idea to make earplugs basically. Yeah, to combine fashion and earplugs and also usefulness for hearing protection. And so now you have these, I mean, people can look them up, loop earplugs. You have these earplugs that you plug in for concerts, for sleeping, you know, they have different models. And they just look really fancy. They look really good. And you can reuse them. And that really took off, man, like crazy. And we support them for I think 5 years already in like 16 countries on all Amazon
Oh, wow.
marketplaces and you know Japan, Australia, US. It's just a crazy story and a hell lot of fun. So if anybody from Loop here listens, it's fun with you guys.
That's awesome. I actually just Googled them. Yeah, I definitely saw them. Yeah, they are completely different than the typical earplugs.
Yeah.
So,
And they do good
yeah.
marketing, man. It's and I'm not saying like we do the Amazon ads. I don't want to like say we do a good job. I think we do, but what I mean is like they do really good creatives and good marketing all around. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's actually really, really, really nice case study because, again, I mean, now I just Google and I actually know this brand, so that's awesome. I might even try them myself because especially when I'm actually traveling, like
Yeah.
those noise canceling AirPods are not there, so.
And to be honest, I was skeptical, but I tried them out on the Tomorrowland Festival actually, and it really helps. Like your ears are just protected, but you still hear the sound of the music perfectly. So it's really cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, perfectly. So, from anyone who is listening to this podcast from the Loop AirPlugs team, yeah, greetings.
Yeah.
And the last question that I have, Max, is actually to teach new people, so there won't be so many different rumors about like bad agencies that don't deliver. If you would have to start like agency right now, right, with all of your experience, how would you do it actually, or what would you do differently than what you did? So maybe if someone actually wants to start a new agency at this point, they will do it properly. They will do it right.
Yeah, good question. First thing I think is start. I mean, that's the most important part. Too many people, I think too much about it and don't start ever. Start, deliver quality. I think that's by far the most important thing, because if you deliver quality, people will recommend you and you know share your contact with other people. And then what I would do differently, I think I would start even earlier to build in-house tech, and to implement AI and all that kind of stuff. Try to be as efficient as possible as an agency. Time is money. That's really what it comes down to. So yeah, I think here with you guys have a perfect tech partner. So talk to Jacob and make sure you get your tech in order as soon as possible, because maybe small story to the end, what happened to us is that we kind of built the tech like on the fly, right? And now, yeah, we have kind of, not now, but we had kind of a wobbly tech stack, and that's no fun when you have to kind of restructure all of this and make it clean. So I don't wish that to anybody.
Oh yeah, like definitely when it comes to overall building software and tech, like very funny thing is that we have so many also clients that are coming to us because they first try to build tech with someone who is not that much experience, actually usually much cheaper also, right? But then they wasted like 1 year, for example. The tech crashed completely when it had to go to production, and then they had to actually start from scratch, right? So
Yeah,
sometimes it's
exactly.
also this case, right? So we also learned on our mistakes, on even like going to like smaller scale, that when we it comes to working and searching for very good designers, like we don't have like in-house designer. We are usually working with our partners for design. Like we develop stuff, but we were never like really good in designs. But when it comes to doing this, we also initially were like looking for some cheaper options to keep our profit bigger, but then in the end this really didn't work out at all. So now we are also looking also for the best service providers when it comes to like a UX and UI space, and we actually found those. So we happily there, but it wasn't always like that, right? So it's also important to actually invest so you don't have to do it twice or three times sometimes.
Makes sense. Yeah, 100% agree. Don't be afraid to invest in the right people, the right services that can actually push you forward quite a lot. Yeah.
Totally. Thanks a lot, Max. That was like a lot of fun here to
Thank you,
finally do
Jacob.
it with you. That was a really nice conversation. And maybe lastly, Max, could you share where people can find you and more marketing?
Yeah, thank you, Jacob. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, people can find me probably on LinkedIn the best way. Max Berg, and then I annoy you with my daily Amazon ad posts or moin-marketing.com. That's where people can find us.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. And just one thing I have to say, you gave me the inspiration because like on this conference in New York, you had those t-shirts, Ask Me Anything AMC. And now at the Prospect Show, Selling Partner API, they will have their own booth for the first time. And we actually got the custom t-shirts, Ask Me Anything About Amazon APIs.
Perfect, perfect. I hope they work out for you.
I'll let you know for sure because this was like really funny. So you even told me that this worked out for you. So I'll
Yes.
let you know. But yeah, just the last word.
Sure.
So thanks a lot, guys. Thank you, Max. And yeah, we'll see each other soon.
Thank
Bye
you.
bye.
Bye bye.